Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HR Latte, your first cup of talent management whipped to perfection.
Hey everybody, this is Rayanne Thorne, your host. Thanks for joining me today on HR Latte. This is episode 66. How can that be? Hard to believe that I've been doing the show for well over a year and have had the opportunity to speak to so many great guests. HR Latte is brought to you by Dovetail Software. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about employee engagement, HR case management, or HR help desk solutions, please feel free to visit the website, dovetailsoftware.com. Again, thanks for joining us today as I wrap up my series on healthcare HR today. I'm very excited to have had all the guests that I've been able to speak with and to learn a little bit more about what's going on in the world of HR within healthcare and the many different facets that there are to healthcare. And today we're going to be speaking with a really great guest. I'm very excited to have Dan White on the show, who's the president of Workforce Solutions at AMN Healthcare. I met Dan years ago in a lobby. Greg Rokas with a Green Job Interview introduced us at ERE, and we sat outside of the ERE conference and talked for quite a while and got to know each other. We had kids that played water polo in high school, and so it was fun to get to know each other. And Dan is just down the road a piece from me in San Diego. So thanks, Dan, for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Rayanne. That was a wonderful introduction, and like you, I'm super excited to share this time with you and your audience.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to AMN Healthcare, and then tell us a little bit about what you guys have going on at AMN Healthcare right now.
So, as you know, I've been in and around recruiting and talent management now for, you know, over 30 years, hard to believe anymore. I actually have a finance and computer science background educationally, but pretty quickly discovered that, you know, I wanted to be in the game rather than keeping score. And so for me, I started off as a recruiter pretty early in my career. And because of my computer science sort of nerdy tendencies, I ended up with a great group of people building an early ATS in sort of my late 20s and early 30s. And a quick shout out to all the skill set software fans and colleagues from back in the day. Then I moved from software into RPO operations and product management with both Convergys and IBM. Through sort of luck of the draw, I ended up being attracted here to AMN. It's in my hometown of San Diego. Just a wonderful group of people here and a terrific industry focus on healthcare. So I'm super excited about all of that. Just to go to your second part of the question, which was, sure, you know, what's happening, you know, here at AMN, healthcare is just on fire right now. In many ways, Rayanne, it feels to me sort of like the dot-com era did back in those days. Just tons of competition for talent, amazing focus on quality and some of the things that I think we've learned about talent management and engagement and things like that. So from my point of view, all of that experience I just shared with you is really coming to bear for me now here at AMN.
Good. And I know that you are the president. You were given that position or promoted or sought that position. We can talk a little bit about that too, because sure, we're all about staffing and promotions and everything on HR Latte. I love to talk about the movement of people within organizations, especially up. And so you've had some upward movement there at AMN. The president of Workforce Solutions, tell us what that entails. What does Workforce Solutions mean at AMN Healthcare?
So Workforce Solutions for us is our really centered around client strategy primarily. So how do you choose the right mix and type of resources that you need to meet the business objectives that you have? And, you know, within healthcare, I would say, you know, generally speaking, very few organizations really have the size and the scale to attack talent in the ways that large ones do. So at IBM, I would have called most healthcare organizations kind of mid-sized, right? Today they have very small HR organizations serving largely in what I would call a generalist mode. And so they really haven't had the advantage that some industries outside of healthcare have. You know, I'd say maybe even 10 to 15 years behind those commercial non-healthcare businesses. But again, tracking closer to what the market is doing in again, the mid-market. So MSP is very strong and has been now for, you know, 6-7 years. That's one of the tools that we use for our clients to manage their contingent labor. RPO has been relatively new, but is probably the fastest growing group that I have under my my teams. And then more recently, maybe even embryonic, is what you and I would think of as workforce optimization. So we acquired a company in December, Rayanne, that does predictive modeling and workforce analytics to help customers figure out, you know, shift by shift in a hospital, how many people you need, what type they are, whether they should be full-time or contingent. Very, very sophisticated stuff. As much as, wow, I said maybe they're a little behind, I would say their ability to move past where commercial, you know, non-healthcare industries are is pretty good.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And we know how important analytics are. We've been talking for years. I did a series, a blog series, about maybe three years ago now, where it talked about the top five hottest trends in healthcare. And big data, well, healthcare recruiting, healthcare hiring, and big data was part of those top five trends. And we're still, I think we're still on the tip of the iceberg, really understanding workforce analytics and hiring analytics and all the information that we've gathered over the years that we say we use, but it's really not being used. And so I love the fact that you are actually talking about this now and putting strategies in place that will benefit your clients as well as your own organization. Is there a difference
question.
Besides being a little bit slower to grasp onto new tech and make the shift, is there a difference between what happens in workforce solutions for healthcare and organizations in general? I mean, when you were at IBM and doing the same kind of work, what's the key difference that you see between healthcare and organizations in general?
So there's a couple of important factors, I think, to healthcare that we, you know, we all need to remind ourselves of. Number one, very people intensive, right? And very focused on patient outcomes, rightly so. You know, not a lot of time in the day to distract yourself with talent analytics if people aren't being cared for. So, you know, the difference between a healthcare organization and somebody who's automating a assembly line of sorts, very different, right? Nobody dies if they mess up the, you know, the assembly line for a day. So that's a really critical factor. The size is a critical factor. But the other thing that I always remind myself, and I'm a little bit blessed in this regard, these people who are in healthcare are all the smart folks, right, that I used to deal with in high school and college, right? They're scientists and math majors and people like that. So a lot of fact-based decision-making, a lot of prove-it-to-me kind of behavior. And so that lends itself very naturally to analytics and the insights that you get there. And so from our point of view, you know, the question you asked about how do we use it internally and externally, I shared a little bit about Avantis, but even internally, we have 30 years of data on healthcare clinicians and their preferences and all of that information. And so we use that every day to help us find new people to bring in to the marketplace, try to figure out how long a typical traveler, is likely to stay traveling versus want to go back to a more full-time position, what their drivers are. We even have data that we use to change our own behavior. So if someone is on, on our sites overnight looking at a job, that person is, accelerated to the queue in front of the recruiter so that we're, talking to that person very quickly and being responsive. So lots of great things from an analytics point of view happening here at AMN and in healthcare generally.
Well, and that's I would say one of the areas in HR alone across the board that is becoming the most innovative. And there are so many organizations out there. If you attend HR Tech Conference, right, you're going to see a lot of talk and a lot of organizations that are discussing big data, analytics, metrics, breaking it down, how we can help you to understand the numbers that you've been tracking for so long, the numbers, the names, the qualifications, everything that you've been tracking for so long. So when we look at healthcare right now, there is a couple of areas where there is extreme growth that's taking place. One of those areas is home health. And another area, obviously, is the geriatrics, really helping the older patient. We're seeing people are living longer, and healthcare is geared more toward helping these older patients, and that ties in to home health. So tell me, what are some of the innovative things that AMN is doing to meet that need? That's where the largest and greatest staffing need is in healthcare right now, is filling those positions for home health. So what are you doing that's helping and benefiting that area of growth?
There's a number of things. I'm going to add one more element to your backdrop. Healthcare, unlike a lot of businesses, is really changing from really a fee-for-service-based approach, which, has been around for years now, decades even, to a much more value-based patient care model. Wow. And as a result of that, That is one of the elements that drives, this increase in home health. It drives increases and changes in the marketplace relative to retail, for example, Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, everybody getting into the market, trying to serve patients in another setting. And so what we see is a need even for new types of roles. So in the home health setting and in with this value-based backdrop, there's a role that's emerging called like a nurse navigator or a role like that where they're managing the person from the acute care setting through retail and or home health kinds of settings so that they don't go back, right? That's one of the key pieces in managing population health is that it's sort of fix it once and be done with it.
And sounds so like for a great us, evolution of the case management role, right? A really great evolution of that role. So, okay, great. Go on.
Absolutely. So if you think about case managers from, software or call centers or things like that, it's like that, except these people have to be very mobile. They have to get to the patient. And so, there's a change in how you use technology to work with those folks, how you train them up. We're lucky enough to own some technologies here, but I think the more interesting part for us, we have a practice that we're developing here called the Center for the Advancement of Healthcare Professionals. It's a bit of a mouthful, but we just refer to it as the center. And with the center, we really focus on not just continuing education, which is, you know, again, kind of a key element of nursing and other healthcare professionals, but really pushing the curriculum and the agenda for these new roles that are needed. And, you know, building it, making it available to customers, creating maybe even creative ways to take maybe a regular RN and teach them labor and delivery kind of practices, or a new grad and teaching them these nurse navigator kind of roles. So it's a fantastic advancement here that, you know, it's funny, you and I have been in and around technology for so long that, you know, me starting my career, I thought everything needed to start with some new software.
Actually,
it's not that way anymore. You're involved in engagement of people and leading of people and educating them. Those things are far more important, I think, in the big scheme.
Well, and you mentioned skills in that last segment, and I mentioned the blog series that I did earlier. Another trend was the skills gaps that we're starting to see with the changes in technology that are happening, the development of fields, your nurse navigator position, you know, the increase in a need for staffing in home health and geriatric care, all these areas that are experiencing significant growth. When I first started in HR and staffing recruiting, it was to hire nurse managers and chief nursing officers, you know, and there was an extreme gap in the ability to fill those positions because there was such a devastating nursing shortage back 10, 15 years ago, right? So now we're starting to see less of that because we did the right thing. We got the word out, hey, this is a great profession. Right, there are lots of schools that are offering you opportunity to get your BSN, to, you know, to become a nursing professional, and now the shift is, let's fill the gaps in your skills. Now you can round out your healthcare professional experience and be able to maybe step from department to department or fill in the gaps that happen within an organization. The talk of travelers and home health and, you know, all of these things are starting to kind of connect and coalesce together, right? And it makes perfect sense that you're part of this. I love the workforce solutions in your title. I think it's fantastic, and it speaks a great deal to AMN's devotion to let's see what we can do to improve the process for the patient, for the clients.
No question. You know, we focus, one of our core values at AMN is in and around innovation. And this, you know, we're well recognized, I think, in the industry as being, you know, the leaders in healthcare workforce solution innovation. We really don't accept the status quo on any given day, which, you know, that you've known me for a while. I'm sort of right in the middle of that. It's a really refreshing thing to go to your clients and say, hey, we've been thinking about this problem. We think we have a different way to look at it that might make you even more successful. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons I just love getting up in the morning is there's a second reward, right? I love helping our clients and so on. But, you know, at the end of the day, if we put the right person in the right job and they're happy, somebody's life is going to be better. And, you know, there's that little personal reward that we get out of that as well. So it's great.
It's really valuable in your own personal daily efforts to produce great work to know that you do have that impact in a long roundabout way, but that impact is definitely there. And you never know. You could be saving a life. You could be just, like you said, making a life better. So one of the things that we've been talking about in this series is the paperless, the effort to go paperless, right? Healthcare organizations, this has been an ongoing effort over the last 10 to 15 years. So tell me a little bit about the process, the staffing process at AMN. Have you guys gone totally paperless? You mentioned in ATS earlier, which is indicative that you have a process online or in a computer that is allowing you to track candidates, placements, as well as applicants and job seekers. So tell us a little bit about the paperless process at AMN.
So within AMN, we are largely paperless. So you can find a job, apply to it. And again, these can be permanent or contingent, either one. We even do some co-branding with our customers. You know, a great example of that is our relationship with Kaiser. So, you know, go to Kaiser's website. You can see the ability to either apply directly to a Kaiser job, or if you want to work through Kaiser or to Kaiser in a contingent form, you know, we can certainly do that too. So that's an example. The process is intense here in terms of the many things you have to do. It's just as a general rule for your audience, I would say it's five times as much more due diligence for a healthcare professional than it would be a non-healthcare, non-clinical professional. You know, 40, 50 different tasks that you might need to do on a given person. So all of that being automated is a great thing. So we have a tremendous amount of website resources. So rn.com is a, you know, AMN property, RX School is a AMN property, et cetera. So we do a ton online. What I would say might be surprising that most of our clients are not very paperless, meaning they are still paperless to a large extent. And so for us to help them get there and become comfortable with it and adopt best practices that have been around for years is a big role for AMN as well, both from a consultative point of view and just from delivering, you know, the best VMS software in healthcare or, you know, other tools and techniques like Avantis, for example, that I shared with you earlier.
Right. So that's all good. That's all good news. We love hearing, you know, the progress. Let's just call it progress. Continued effort to streamline the process, make access easier for both sides of the equation of healthcare. One of the other issues that's come up, and it seems to be an ongoing problem, and I would love to get your insight and what's happening with AMN, how you guys are attacking this, is somewhat of a disconnect between leadership at hospitals, healthcare organizations, between HR and staffing and the leadership at hospitals. Is this getting better? Are the bridges being gapped because communication is changing? You know, we talk about all this technology that we use, but what it's also done for us outside of work is has changed how we communicate with people, whether it's our friends, our family, neighbors, and to that end, it will alter how we communicate in business. So are we seeing the gap between those two areas start to close? Are leadership within healthcare organizations, are they starting to listen? Are they starting to take notice? Are they starting to be more supportive? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't even call it a disconnect. You know, I would have before, right, before I came into healthcare, but today I get to meet with customers and prospects all the time. And I mentioned earlier, Rayanne, healthcare is so people intensive that leadership's very involved with HR and staffing. I would say it's even more now that this, I'd call it a crisis even, talent crisis is happening. So I wouldn't necessarily call it a disconnect. What I would say is that they just haven't had either the urgency or the ability to address the problems directly until today. So they were always thinking about, you know, the other A priorities before this one. And I would say now this has become such a significant problem. You know, the lack of people means I'm not going to be able to open, you know, an ER, for example, during certain times, and that's just not acceptable. So, you know, leadership is now much, much more involved. And I would say, you know, healthcare is definitely tackling these challenges with HR and leadership together, which is actually a very nice contrast to some of the other industries I've worked in, where I don't think there's such an urgent need for that alignment to happen. What I'm most excited about is, again, the openness to solutions that others have used. I think maybe some of your other speakers have talked about this, but I'm seeing a lot of migration of HR professionals from outside of healthcare, where they've implemented, you know, tools and techniques to really address workforce challenges, come into healthcare, adopt things quicker, you know, make change happen, really impact business outcomes. And so that alignment is happening even faster than I would have imagined, you know, a year and a half ago before I came. So again, just to sort of summarize, it's less of a disconnect and more of, yep, now we have the need to do it. We're open to bringing in new people and new ideas. And I think we're going to see adoption of these things happen at a rate that just, you know, intimidates a lot of people. You know, our RPO division, for example, Rayanne, is going to quadruple in a year. And, you know, it's just, you know, fascinating to me how quickly people are open to trying new ideas.
That's wonderful news. I love hearing the positive side of all of this growth, of the technology that's taking place, the rapid innovation that's taking place as well. Mm-hmm. So with all of these technologies that are out there, do you have any, mm-hmm. you mentioned, I think you said Avantis?
Avantis is the company name, and the software that they deliver is something called Smart Square.
Okay, great. What else are you using? Any other new technologies that you guys are you using social for recruiting at all? How are the social technologies out there being utilized by AMS?
We use a lot of social, and it's probably obvious to you as an expert in this area, but you know, it's always important for me to remind my colleagues and maybe even this audience that healthcare workers are very mobile, right? They don't sit down at a computer. They're bedside and so on, right? And so using being able to respond to a job offer in text, or, you know, use an app to interact with you, or even, you know, making sure that your websites are mobile enabled and things like that, even though it seems really basic to probably a large number of technologists out there, super important when, you know, you're trying to prioritize your investments as a healthcare organization. We at AMN, you know, as I said, have a very large database, 30 years worth of information on clinicians. And so, you know, we started making this transition to, you know, more social enabled, mobile enabled tools and techniques probably 3.5-4 years ago. That work is widely recognized as, you know, industry leading, at least for healthcare staffing and healthcare workforce solutions. So the other thing to remember, though, is that social is really great for those people who, you know, are younger than me. Let's just say it that way. And you know, we got to remember that healthcare has a wide swing in candidate demographics. And so sometimes, you know, if you're a baby boomer, you prefer a phone call. And other times when you're a new grad, you'd prefer a text or a tweet. And maybe, you know, somewhere in between LinkedIn and Facebook works better. So there's a wide range of preferences as a result of the demographics. And so you kind of have to serve people in the way that they're most comfortable. And while those investments are critical, right, for, I'll call it, younger generations than me,
right,
you know, there's also that personal touch of a phone call and a, you know, a gracious speaker on one end, you know, selling and compelling that job, that's really important.
I love that you mentioned that, because it's so important right now to really understand in the world of healthcare recruiting, and well, any recruiting mm-hmm. and hiring out there, that it is a buyer's market, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
We
yep.
used to be able yep. to say, if you want to find out about our job, you have to go to our website, you have to apply here, you have to go to the want ads, right? It's not that way anymore. The job
no.
seeker has changed everything. The job seeker is making demands on, this is where I am, you come find me. And they're not being
yeah.
vocal about it, but we know that mm-hmm. that's exactly what you shared is exactly true. If we're talking to the younger generations, if we're talking to millennials, if we're trying to,
mm-hmm.
you know, build a pipeline for the future, and we're talking
yeah.
to Gen Z, these kids that are just getting ready to graduate from high school and are looking at their what they want to do for their career,
yeah.
we've got to make sure that they can find us. So we need to be
yeah.
findable. And they're not going to the white, you know, the yellow pages. You know, they're not going to the classifieds.
I don't even think there are any yellow pages anymore.
That's right. That's right. They're not doing that. They're
yeah.
saying, I'm going to look for you where I hang out. What do you have
yeah.
on Snapchat or Facebook or Twitter or Instagram? What are you doing on the channels where I hang out? And they're going to pay attention to the organizations that actually have taken the time to say, I want to go to where you are. I understand that you are in a big place of making a decision, right?
You make a really important point, too. They're not only going to, you know, expect that you're going to go, you know, communicate with them in their preferred style, but they're also going to ask their friends, right, what they
exactly.
think about how you treat, you know, people and so on. So it's a very multi-dimensional challenge, right? For sure.
Well, it's an exciting time for healthcare, to be sure. And we have the upcoming ASHRAE conference that'll be taking place in Orlando
yeah.
at the, I think it's on the 19th, 18th, or the 19th through the 22nd of September. So this whole series was built around, you know, preparing for ASHRAE and helping folks that are interested
mm-hmm.
in learning more about healthcare HR to understand that there are some similarities across the board, and then there are some differences, that every region, the United
mm-hmm.
States is so big, right, that
yeah.
every region
yeah.
has their own specific issues, problems, concerns. And so I'm so thankful for you taking some time out of your day to share some of the insights that you have to share with all of us. The time always goes quick, Dan, and we're going to
mm-hmm.
wrap up right now. So any last words of wisdom?
No, I think, you know, these are exciting times for anybody in, you know, healthcare, workforce, talent management, you know, you name the phrase, but it's fun. It's a chance to kind of reinvent ourselves and to deliver more value to, you know, not only shareholders, but the patient. So for me, this has been a kind of a 30-year career training to do this job that I'm in now, and I'm super excited to be here, as you can probably hear in my voice.
I just
love exciting. It. Yeah, just love what we're doing, and hope to share more with you as we continue here.
Definitely. Well, I would love to have you back next year and talk about some maybe new things that you're trying, things that worked, maybe some things that didn't work and you had to, you know, shift gears, change direction. One of the things
yeah.
that I do on this show, that's my favorite part of the show, Dan, is it's called Quick Hit Faves. And I always ask my guests a few of their
mm-hmm.
favorite things in life and outside of work
mm-hmm.
that help me to grow myself outside of work. I can learn about new books that are out there, maybe new places, new foods to try and so forth. So we'll run through this list and then we'll say goodbye. So thanks again for joining me. What's your favorite food?
I would say Italian food.
And do you have a favorite place that you go to, or do you guys cook at home?
No, I wouldn't say a favorite restaurant. I would Little Italy here in San Diego is pretty darn fun. If you've ever been, so that's a pretty decent place to be.
Check it out. Well, if you ever come up a little bit north, there's a restaurant called Rumari in Laguna that makes the best lobster ravioli you have ever had.
Oh,
it's insane. So good.
I will have to
do
that.
And it's not even on the menu. It's on the secret menu. So you just ask. Say, hey, Rayanne told me you make lots of ravioli. So
nice.
It's delicious. You'll have to try it sometime. Your favorite book. Okay. Now, this could be a book that's been kind of a guiding beacon for you. It could be something you're reading right now.
Well, right now I'm actually reading The Challenger Sale. So I know that sounds really boring. But I would also recommend for anybody just looking for something a little lighthearted, I enjoyed this book called Playing for Pizza. It was a great book about an athlete who sort of changed his life. I'll just leave it at that. It's pretty cool.
Wow. I'll check that one out for sure. I love light pieces. When you travel a lot, it's nice to take a light piece on a plane with you and to the hotel rooms and so forth. So favorite place. This could be a room at home where you like to read, or it could be a remote location. Where's your favorite place?
I would say either home or AT&T Park.
Really?
I'm a huge Giants fan. Sorry.
There you go. No, that's okay. That's okay. I'm happy to hear that. So that's great. And do you get to games very often?
I do. A lot of times it'll be down here in San Diego when it's even a Giants home game, practically, with the number of people who visit.
That's true. You can't do that in L.A. You got to be careful at Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
Really
I'm not
careful.
Nearly as welcome.
What color shirt you wear. Yeah, you know, you're not going to be very welcome there. And your favorite? It sounds like
I really enjoy that. But I also, I collect wine, and I really enjoy making food and sharing it with friends at home. So I enjoy that a lot.
I love that. Well, Dan, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, Rayanne. I would enjoy coming back sometime when the time is right and you're available and all of that. I've enjoyed speaking to you, too. I think this has been great.
Okay. Thanks so much. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll be kicking off a new series next month. It's going to be a surprise, though. So you'll have to stay tuned to hear more about that. I will be at the ASHRA Conference in Orlando, September 19th through the 22nd. If anybody's interested in an impromptu meeting, grabbing some coffee, maybe an interview, would love to hook up with you. You can reach me at Ray_Anne on Twitter, or you can certainly message me here at HR Latte. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on HR Latte.